We are working once again on technical difficulties, and hopefully at some point soon that will be resolved and we'll be able to have some visual aids to the audio our brother is going to present with his own voice. So, but you can please come up. You may go ahead.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm very thankful and I'm honored being here. I couldn't believe, even though I have been in America 10 years, but I have never visited your church. But God eventually brought my family here, so we are extremely excited and thankful. Before technical obstacles overcome. Well, I would like to first introduce myself and my family so that you may feel more comfortable as I present something about South Korea and also Korean history and the spiritual condition over there and the church planting project and also about the city we are targeting. My wife and I were born in South Korea and raised until we left South Korea 2007. We married and then almost right after we left South Korea came to the United States. And 2008, we first visited our church, Trinity Baptist Church. It's in May. I come to know Pastor Martin when I was in Korea, even before 2000, by a tape from the Ministry of Mount Zion in Pensacola, Florida. Still there, actively involved in the ministry, and there was the tape. It was spoken in 1968, a pastor's conference or preacher's conference with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones with a guest lecture next to Pastor Martin. The title was, What's Wrong with Today's Preaching? At the time, I had been greatly struggled with ongoing situation in Korean churches, as well as my local church. So there was like a quenching my thirst and hunger, and I was very, very excited and surprised. So since that time, I tried to listen to his messages and even made order some tapes and series from the Trinity Book Service. At the time, it was available from the overseas, so I made order tapes. Eventually, I made order VHS tape, videotape. I was eager to see how he preached. So that was delivered, I was excited. Exactly the same pulpit and the back wall. And eventually God led us to our church. And then 1 year after we first visited Trinity Baptist Church, which was 2009, my wife and I was baptized and became a members of the church. And then decided to send me to South Korea, so support my training, so send me to the Puritan Reform Theological Seminary, so 4 years of training there, so until 2014. And 2014, since that time, I have been training under the direct supervision of my elders. So this visiting schedule started actually last year September, but more intensely it started this year February. So almost from February until now, almost every Lord's Day I was somewhere about my church. So there was quite interesting time. But the more churches I visited, the more I realized clearly why God brought this schedule to me. So this schedule is the final schedule to wrap up before this schedule to before we leave to South Korea. Still, I couldn't believe we have to leave to South Korea, but time is coming, so it's quite interesting emotion we are going through, particularly my wife and my children. But I believe God also brought us to this conference this week, so we had a wonderful time of fellowship and being encouragement, particularly the message by message by speakers, just timely and proper and exactly what I need to hear. So there was also another assurance. God is sending me, and God is preparing me to go there for His glory to be known. It's extremely misunderstood, abused by professing Christians particularly. Korea is not an enriched area. As you know, so many professing Christians. But God's glory and who Christ is has been tragic way misunderstood and poorly taught and abused. So, yeah, I'm going there not to reach out to the people in the unreached area, but going there to challenge and to let them think about their existing status. And then, yeah, Lord willing, revival or transformation or repentance or renewal. Those kind of work we are in our minds. So through this presentation, I will give you some information about South Korea and Korean churches and spiritual condition. I know this is very interesting time to go back to the peninsula. You hear if almost every day the news about North Korean leader and missiles and the escalation of tensions and war rumors. But those are just a small part of what's going there. But media almost like make things just almost like all what's going there is just all those things. But that's not so. That's why I'm very thrilled for this situation. Because of that news and media, many people have more interest in the peninsula and also show keen interest about my work. So this is greatly helpful for me to share. I'm very thankful. Then I'll open my presentation here. You may not see, but unfortunately, but I will start my presentation from this. But as soon as something is ready, I'll switch. So please bear me. I should have checked earlier, but I was too relaxed in such a great hosting family. So forgive me. Korean Peninsula is located, as you know, in the Far East. But interestingly, the peninsula itself is surrounded by the superpowers. To its west, China, nowadays, with the leadership of Xi Jinping, showing great military muscles and very aggressively try to influence the neighboring smaller countries. And also Russia, Putin, as their leader, now he is missing the glory of Soviet Union. So he also is getting more aggressive. And also Japan still doesn't regret what they did in the Second World War, particularly their imperial regime do. That's why even though they are, Japan is the closest closest neighbor in the area, but the relationship is quite complicating and still very uncomfortable, not with people, but with the government. Because as you know, the Japanese national religion is Shintoism. Because of that religion, Korean Christians when they colonized Korea from 1910 through 1945. They brutally persecuted Christians particularly. And they still have the shrine where the tablets of the war criminals enshrined, and annually the high officials they visit there with their entourage and bow before them. And that shows us that these guys are not regretting or feel sorry for that, but they miss the time of the imperial era. So that caused very uncomfortable between the relationship. And also, the new president of this country also is very unique character, very inexperienced in political arena. So quite, and also on top of all those situations, for mostly the North Korean leader, only early 30s, and he's almost spoiled kid of the dictator, of his father, and also he keep posing the trouble. So quite interesting period we are going to go. So please pray that there would be no skirmishes or war, full-fledged war particularly. In Korean War, from 1950 through 1953, 3 years range, 2 million people died. And at the time, the population was way smaller than now. But 2 million, million people died. So there should be no miscalculation by any means. So pray for the peace on the peninsula so that people may not be distracted by it, so that they may have continuously opportunity to hear the message. Yeah, Korean Peninsula is located there, and 14 hours gap, 14 hours ahead of your time zone. Nonstop flight from JFK to South Korea is 14 hours. This is the picture. The Korean Peninsula is located. And since Korean War 1953, it finished not with the peace treaty, but with the truce. So still technically at war. Only one case on the globe for now. As you see, this is a satellite picture in the night. In the center, the bright spot, above the bright spot, there is North Korea. But you may see the other area, like eastern China is very bright, Japan. But in the night, the North Korea is as dark as the Pacific Ocean. And also all the way to your left, there's a Gobi Desert. But remember, the population of North Korea itself is 25 million. So how desperate condition these people are living on top of the spiritual darkness. But on the other hand, South Korea is quite different, as big as this blue silhouette shows, 10 times denser population than the population of Indiana, but almost same size of the state of Indiana. The population is 50 million, the South Korean themselves, and also the four clear seasons we have, but only the July is the monsoon, the rainy season, so which causes the August very hot and sticky. But other than that, the same as I living now, the northern New Jersey, we have our own language, written language. It was invented 1400 by a king named Sejong. I am thankful for God's providence of this. This is very easy to learn. 24 alphabet, 10 vowels, and 14 consonants, so combined into a syllable. Because of this easy Bulgar language, when Christianity first arrived, many people being able to read the Bible. So the Christianity at the outset started as a biblical Christianity. And Korea, even though it's small, is economically very developed, and GDP and exporting rate is quite high, 8th or 9th in the world. But I want you to think how this rapid growth right after the Korean War, even within the 40 or 50 years range, how people's mindset and their value system and worldview might have been affected by it. As you see, this to your left, there's the Seoul. In 1960, it was taken. The same spot to your right, 2000, is a sea change. So how people's lives might have been affected, you may imagine. Extremely secularized and materialized. Korea has a long history, but I would like to focus on more modern era, like 1910 through 1945, Japanese rule, and Korean War, 50 through 53, and military junta, 61, 87, and democratization. Korean War is a form factor in terms of Korean modern history. When 1950, June 25, it was Sunday, most soldiers were off for the weekend, and officers, northern communist regime took advantage of it and waged a surprise attack in the early morning, 4 o'clock. So they almost within a week, they pushed all the way down to the southern tip, yellow spot, the Busan. So almost war ended. But by God's providence, allies swiftly responded with the leadership of General MacArthur. So he waged a landing campaign. Second picture shows the west of the peninsula. Mostly they focused on the other side, having a deep ocean. So he took advantage of their assumption, and on both sides he pushed back. And third picture shows almost up to the border between China and North Korea. It was brutally cold winter of 1950. So almost war could be ended, but the newly established communist regime of China didn't want to have a democratic neighbor adjacent to them. So they sent 1 million soldiers. So like a tsunami, they just pushed it down on top of the brutally cold weather. At the time, 16 allies, as far as I remember, they sent soldiers and participated. And the biggest ally was obviously America. But most of them were from the very tropical area like Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, and Ethiopia, even Texas, or very hot. So they couldn't bear the cold weather. So they cannot but retreat all the way down to the original border of 38 parallel. And then tit-for-tat situation lasted until finally 53, the truce establishes. That's the border nowadays we have. So this 3 years war reigned, 2 million died, and we still have the same border of DMZ, demilitarized zone. So once you visit the demilitarized zone, it's because as you hear, demilitarized in the demilitarized zone, this pinky line shows no civilian activity, no military activity is allowed. So quite peaceful, but weirdly very just intense, like a tension you can feel. Even you can see how North Korean soldiers move around. This picture shows how this war affected 10 million people directly, indirectly affected by this separation. So the direct family, relatives, siblings, parents, and children, they just forced to separate. This is a picture of brothers, of brothers after reunion events. They have to be separated again. So they cry like these children. But again, 10 million people are still in this kind of situation. Korean society is a very pluralistic society. Many diverse religions coexist peacefully. There's no violence or threat or terror because of the religion. I'm thankful for that. This picture shows traditional religion. To your left, there is a guardian pair. Once you visit the rural area, mountainous area, those kind of traditional religions are still very actively influencing people's life. And to your right, mountain god, the most shamans visit the shrines and do their rituals. So this, to your left, this witch doctor, we call the shaman, female shaman, do their rituals. Quite impressive work by under the influence of the evil force. So because of that, many clients visit them and do questions and ask the solution for their struggles and difficult matters of their family and their lives. Buddhism is the longest history they boast of and most influential, not as a religion, but also not only as a religion, but also the worldview, people's mindset. Even they should not. They don't need to be Buddhist. They are just born into this culture. But most temples are located in the mountainous area and also very nominal. Confucianism is also one of the big influence in the society, people's ethics and law system. And this kind of ancestor worship particularly is very influential. They regard the ancestor worship not as a religious activity, but social virtue for any descendants should be involved, engaged, to show respect and gratitude for their deceased ancestors. In that way, they show their filial piety. So professing Christians are in great trouble for this ritual and tradition. Obviously, they cannot join this ritual with clear conscience. Because of that, they often very persecuted psychologically, emotionally, and their relationship and also ostracized from the extended family. Roman Catholicism growing very rapidly nowadays because of the good impression they have given to the people when the society was troubled under the military junta. Many people were unjustly, wrongly indicted and imprisoned, and the priest raised their voice. Still, people have that memory. With the backdrop of the Protestant Christianity, regarded as very self-centered and materialized Western religion. Protestantism, Christianity arrived in Korea 1884 by Western missionaries. And they were reformed missionaries, Bible-centered teachings and church life. So that heavily affected by it. Even though Christianity arrived to the neighboring countries like China and Japan way earlier than arriving to South Korea. But as you see, we hardly be able to see nowadays still, according to its population, it's quite Christianity, the influence of the Christianity. On the other hand, South Korea still has big influence of Christianity. This is a picture of Pyongyang revival, people call the Korean Pentecost, 1907. It happened, it lasted 3 years until 1910. In the capital city nowadays, North Korea, Pyongyang, the Holy Spirit really worked with the Word of God. So people love to hear the message, just gather together. Whenever they hear, there will be a meeting for the biblical message. They just gather together from neighboring towns, even all the way from 30 or 40 miles away by foot with their rices on their shoulder and stay there many days together and listen to the Word of God. And whenever they gather together with the Word of God, Holy Spirit really blessed the message. So there are conversions and renewals. And they just went back to their places and do the same work. So in that way, it lasted 3 years. Recently, by Ben Obtrus, a book about the revival, republished it. Who the authors are, the Blair and Hunter, they themselves were the missionaries right at the moment at the place. So he described how things happened quite accurately, but it's just exciting way. So this is the part of it from the book. I'd like to just read the part of this quotation. The scorn of man, the penalty of the law, even death itself seemed of small consequences if only God forgave. We may have other theories of desirability or undesirability or public confession of sin. I have had mine, but I know now that when the Spirit of God falls upon guilty souls, there will be confession and no power on earth can stop it. I strongly recommend you to grab this book and read. It will stir your heart for this glory, God's glory to be known in this way. And this is a quotation from a mission report to Methodist Episcopal Church of the United States in 1908. At the time, obviously, Episcopal Church was quite different from nowadays. So quite exciting report. I would like to read the whole portion. The facts following these movements are wholly good. The church raised to a higher spiritual level, almost entire absence of fanaticism because of previous careful instruction in the Bible. Not one case of insanity, but many thousands clothed in their right mind, scores of men called to the holy ministry, greater congregations searching the word, as many as 2,000 meeting in one place for the study of the Bible, many thousands learning to read and making inquiries, multitudes of them pressing upon the tired missionary and native pastors praying, give us to eat. I beseech you, do not listen to any word suggestions of doubts as to the vitality and reality of this. Drunkards, gamblers, thieves, adulterers, murderers, self-righteous Confucianists, and dead Buddhists, and thousands of devil worshippers have been made new men in Christ, the old things gone forever. Once you read the record, you may read easily they heard the hymn sings when they walked through the street from the houses and great spiritual conversation. Their concern was always their spirit and their children's spirit and God's glory and about the Bible and the amazement of the grace. So think about this. If I could send this kind of report to you, that would be really, really awesome. This is the picture of the revival gathering. No place big enough to accommodate these people. They just love the Word of God, nothing else. They were under the desperate situation. Most of them were low strata slaves and females and children who had been greatly despised, but also men's. Actually, this revival started a man's confession of his sin, who was the prominent leader of a local church. Nobody could imagine he might have been involved in that kind of sin secretly. But on the day of the revival start, Holy Spirit pressed upon his guilty souls, unbearably weighty. So he almost felt like he himself is being sunk into the bottomless pit. So he cannot but confess all those shame and fear. And everybody just shocked and appalled. But that was just the opening the water gate. Just one by one, that freaked their conscience and they couldn't bear it. So one by one, confess their sin in front of them. And whenever individual come and confess, everybody just same shock. And but they prayed, cried for God to forgive the brother, the sister, as if that is their own sin. And it just went through all the way next day. So the missionaries was puzzled how we should stop, when we could stop. And that was the starting. Just fire was thrown, flame was thrown, and it's just burgeoning wildfire the 3 years. You may see these beautiful faces when you go to heaven. This grape is disappeared. Actually, the previous graph, there was a graph shows the from the 1910 through 1945 under the Japanese rule how Christianity grew rapidly, almost like a more than like a 60 degree angle. But at the time, no casual reason for anybody to have to become Christian, to bring persecution or ostracization. But the growth was just significant and remarkable. So that shows how this revival was real. And many scholars believe that that was God's preparation for his church to go through by persevering this brutal era. Even after that growth, church still grew, but until it reached the point only when churches started being complacent in themselves, which was 1995, and then decline. So there are many, unfortunately, apostate elements in Korean churches, as you easily see in American evangelicalism, all those mega church movements and man-centered services and entertainments and psychologies and psychologized Christianity, which is heretics. And so also many heretics are aggressively propagating their false teachings. And also churches are divided according to people's ideology because of the unique situation of Korean Peninsula. Old generation had bad experience of communism, so many times they put their experience about communism above the biblical teaching to help and love your enemies. It's totally understandable, but it's not acceptable, obviously. All those familiar pictures from this country, false teachers. Thankfully, majority of Koreans are not able to listen English and understand. So these guys cannot preach them with their voice. But unfortunately, many publishers are involved in translating their works into the Korean language. So many bookstores put those guys' books very good spot. So it's very unfortunate, but that's fact. And this picture shows vividly what's going there. It's not from a certain weird group's website. It's a very prominent local church's website I took because it's advertisements for the VBS, so that children might be attracted to. I don't know whether they could attract it to it, but all those biblical Christianity twisted into very subtle man-centered doctrines. This is also another sad picture of mass baptism of 2,000 soldiers in one pool. Pool means it's Baptist. Chaplains are giving baptism to many soldiers. This is a kind of annual event, but this is the kind of case that mass production of nominal Christians, nominal Christianity, and this is a Presbyterian version because they don't need to submerge them, just sprinkle. So it's way easy and bigger scale. And this is annual events and by the mainline denominations. I was in the army service for 2 years by mandatory. So I experienced that. I mean, it doesn't mean that I went through that, but I saw my fellow soldiers just go there and went through their baptism, regard themselves as Christians, and it's a really serious problem. But denominations regard this as a kind of God's blessing and also the fruit of the ministry. I don't completely deny that there might be genuine Christians or sincere mind, but majorities are not like that. So domestic living and church life and society, hardly we see the fruit and change, meaningful change in the Christian lives. So Korean Christianity is a vivid case showing that with sound doctrine, but in the setting of unbiblical living itself is denying the sound doctrine. So nothing happened. There are still many good pulpits preaching biblical messages Lord's Day, but I can hardly remember or any church I could call without any hesitance reform. Church order is different. Many students came here, study, and go back home country with doctoral degrees and other great degrees and name, but hardly they could influence because the existing system is so stubbornly established. And they hardly do anything meaningful. Individually, they could be reformed. But as a family and as a church, I can hardly remember, unfortunately. So from three major religions in Korea, the Christianity is regarded least likely religion according to the statistics from the unbelievers. Dongtan is the city, for your understanding, again, name Dongtan. That's the city name. I'm going to go this October 1st. It's very close to Seoul, only 30 miles to south by car. By car it's 30 minutes or 35 minutes without traffic. And also, it's very close to the airport, international airport. It's very promising location, newly planted by the government recently. Even I was not aware of when I was in Korea, but after I came back, came here, United States, that city was planted, and so many good companies relocate to suburban area alongside with many young professionals with their family moving into. So the birth rate is quite three times higher than neighboring already metro area, and also the demographically quite young populations are dominant. So and also mass influx of population is still going. So I believe this is, according to these statistics, quite a good location with enough people to reach out. So government estimate around roughly 300 or 400,000 population in this city itself, but neighboring area, metro area, 3 million people who could have direct access to this town or to my place anytime they want. So quite good location, and I also regard this as a promising sign that I could go. And also our churches decided to start church planting endeavor here. So let's say prayer request is first, continue to pray, please, that God would give guidance and insight and wisdom for my elders and leadership in my church to guide me while I settle down in this new location. And second, more context to be given. I have only one contact in the city, but I'm not sure whether she could join. But she eagerly wants to join, but obviously she knows she has to go to church where her husband could go. Because her husband's church was split, so the husband left. That's some change, unexpected, did it happen? But anyway, through her, I come to know this city and did research, and we decided to go there. So more context, because day by day, I need to go to the street to talk with people about gospel, to college campuses. So through that kind of outreach, I would love to have more context so that we could start the Bible study in our living room at least. And also more contact through the books I've been translating. God allowed me to be involved in translating Reformed literature from English into Korean for a Christian publisher in Korea from 2007, which was a great privilege. But whenever a new book translated and published it with my name upon it, with brief bio, who am I, what I'm doing, and where I'm living. So anybody who, after reading the books and have interest, they could easily have a contact information by calling the publisher. So then more meaningful contact I could have. Thankfully, my elders and deacons allow me to translate a book at a time, so that strategically we could use that to reach out to people. So continue to pray for this endeavor as well. And also pray for my children to adjust easily, smoothly to the new location and new culture and new language, and everything's new for them. Because they were born here and growing here, and our church is just their world. So quite tough adjustment might be for them, but obviously they are young enough to easily pick. So I need God's help. And also, I would like to focus on my own family more than anything else, at least at the outset of this endeavor, so that our family itself, first and foremost, established as a biblically ordered, godly family, so that anybody who could visit our home or interact with us, they cannot but ask some questions, because it might be quite different. I didn't mention, but the education in Korea is quite brutal. I encourage you, young parents and also students, appreciate what you have. When I was a student, even worse. Middle school students start going to school from 7 or 8 early morning and come back home, 10 or 12 p.m. I myself brought 3 lunchboxes to school. Not because I eat 2 lunchboxes at a time. No, 3 meals I brought and stayed there and come back home. So meaningful domestic living is almost impossible. But most parents are eager to let their children spend more time like that. And they work, both spouses, for supporting their children in that way. So education is a kind of idol in the society. So, but most churches are just complying with ongoing situation. Obviously, family never can be recovered in that way, and because they are growing and they left in that way. So those are one of the great challenges I have to face. But clearly, firmly, but humbly and wisely. So pray for that very subtle situations. There's no picture, so I can stand here now. I have still 6 minutes, so if you don't mind, I'd love to have some questions so that I could answer you, if I could. Any questions? Yes. We are both sides. We have parents alive, but far enough not to join. That's the situation. We personally thankful for that, not because we don't love them, but the culture is very different from here. It's quite overbearing culture, even for parents. They regard themselves entitled to overbear even married children's family life. Even if I were the pastor, then they try to meddle what's going in the church. So those kind of mentalities is quite dominant. So yeah, I'm thankful for that. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, thankfully God introduced us the homeschool. So I pulled my son after the kindergarten here and started homeschooling. Now we finished the third year. God blessed a lot with other good examples in the community, homeschooling examples. So we have been greatly encouraged, and also we plan to continue to do that. I have no mind put my kids in the school system because they are part of my church planting endeavor. So yeah, they also are very important. So yeah, that's the situation. Yes.
You grew up in a Christian home. I don't remember you mentioning kind of how you came into contact with.
I didn't grow in a Christian family, a pagan family, extended family. But my mom was first converted by God's grace, and then she cannot but say no to all those ancestor worship. Even though, for eldest son's wife, she has had all responsibility of ancestor worship, preparing everything, food, kind of. But she cannot but say no, thank you. I couldn't do this anymore. So there was almost like an atomic bomb dropped in my extended family. So she was ostracized and brutally persecuted, and. But it took. I was miserable at the time by seeing how my mom was in trouble. But after 35 years, those people who persecuted my mom, most of them started attending church, and some of them I believe is genuine Christians. So, yeah, there's hope as far as there is breath. So. I have no connection with any local church. Yes, I have to start from scratch, from my living room or any place I could have for people's convenience. Any other question? Yes. Maybe sizing? No, it's just kidding. I'm sorry. You know, to me, the city is new. And also, for my elders, even Korea is new. But as a church planter, one of my elders coming with me and by himself look what's going there, what kind of situation, particularly finding the permanent housing, is very important. But it should be a proper location. So I'm very thankful for this plan, because then after that, I could easily communicate with elders, because they already been there, one of the elders, so they can share what's going there. So whatever I try have to communicate, they easily understand. And that's why it's very helpful. So main goal is first exploration of the city and also neighboring metro area, and then finding a permanent housing or location so that we could start church planting in there from my home. That's most, and also, yeah, it's important for Pastor Smith to figure out how Korean churches are going. Even though it's short, brief, but it's better than not visiting there. So for 2 weeks, quite hectic schedule, so lots of things to be achieved. So I really ask you to pray for these 2 weeks of exploration. Without any hassle, we could achieve what we intended to have achieved. Yes. Yeah. No questions, so I'm very grateful for your patience and having me over here. I hope, and I will pray that this time help you to pray more intellectually, what's going, and also I promise you to keep giving you update what's going there.